on. All right. We'll go ahead and call the village board meeting to order. So welcome. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Cascatello?
Here.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
President Odusi?
Here. And I'd ask if you all could stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, let's see who is here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so go ahead, Margie, please. Thank you.
Margie Seconder, River Oaks Drive. I urge the Village Board of Trustees tonight to adopt a resolution asking the Illinois Attorney General for an advisory opinion on whether the April 1st term limits referendum was binding or advisory. I urge you to agree tonight to abide by the AG's opinion, and I urge you to delay a decision on a second term limits referendum until after the AG's advisory opinion is reviewed. In October, the board already postponed a November 2026 ballot referendum to be within the one-year legal limit. How is a second referendum with the same wording different than the existing referendum approved by voters April 1st? Please explain that to residents. The board chose repeatedly not to place a term limits referendum on the ballot before the November 2024 election and again in December, January for the April 2025 election. In discussions after the April 1st approval of term limits, President Odusi, Trustees Vasquez and O'Connell, and perhaps other trustees stated they wanted to get it right. Get it right. What does get it right mean legally? Does that mean legally implementing voters' approval of term limits? If not, what do you mean by get it right? Please explain. The village attorney often notes Scrivener's errors, which extends to the word advisory in the term limits petitions, since at the top of the petition sheets, in bold capital letters, it states binding referendum. The term binding overrides advisory in a legally enforceable agreement. It was notable gathering petition signatures the last few days of calendar 2024. How many people knew about the petition limits issue and eagerly signed petitions? Does the board want to face voters' wrath for disregarding their votes in the April 1st free and fair election? I urge the board to release a village attorney's opinion or opinions on term limits, which he stated publicly he didn't mind being released, but which were FOIA'd by the Wednesday Journal and by me and denied. In Illinois, when municipalities put a term limits referendum on the ballot, every time they did so in support of the referendum. Will the village board agree to advocate to vote yes in a second referendum on term limits? Thank you.
Thanks, Margie. Okay, Phyllis?
Hi. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Rubin, 411 Ashland Avenue, 6B. First, I want to say, walking here, I saw the beautiful lights out. I saw them the other day walking home from a walk, and now I see them again. They're lovely. I don't know if we do it this way every year. I happen to have never noticed. I've been in the village for 11 years now. It's lovely. I also want to say that you got me to laugh out loud when I read the village, the Wednesday Journal article a couple of weeks ago that said that you had to take another vote on the referendum because the vote you took a month ago, was it, was too far in the future. You can't vote on something over a year in the future. Now, so I had to laugh about that. And then I got to thinking, why is there that rule? Maybe it's because they want you to be more responsive to the voters and not put something off so long, which is what you did. So I'm going to give a little history. Well, I guess Margie just said that. It's right that no municipality has ever put on the ballot a referendum that they didn't support. And so it has felt to some of us that your pushing things off and off and off was that you didn't support term limits. So you could prove us all wrong by when you put the referendum on the next time, should you have to do that, or should you decide to do that, that you back it, that you back term limits. You could prove me wrong about why you were putting it off. You also have till August 3rd, if I'm correct about that, Lance can probably tell me, August 3rd to put it up for a vote in November, which is now put off till November, a year from now. Since you have all the time, I agree with Margie that you could take these prior steps to find out before it goes on a referendum, and we do that all over again. You can find out from the Attorney General or some kind of authority to say whether this referendum that was already passed is binding or not. And then you could decide, you could vote now and say, first we're going to do that. If they say it's not binding, then we'll do a referendum. You could do that. Save everybody a lot of trouble. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Phil. Dan is on the list, but I don't see him in the audience. So I'll go to Tom and Carrie, both individually or? Okay.
So we've got to stop meeting like this. Sorry. I've got three things to talk about. Thank you for serving again. I know this is not always fun. I've got three things. One is my pet project, the ADS alarm thing. And I got a potential announcement down to 94 words. So, and I haven't seen anything more about it. So if it's in the newsletter or something, I think that would be great. 94 words is not so hard. I can read it now, or I can email it to you or hand it over if you want to do it that way.
You can hand it to Matt. Sure.
Pretty straightforward. I think should I read it to make sure there's no objection?
If you'd like to, go ahead. Right. Yeah. And then you can hand.
Somebody find something in here. I don't want to delay again. If you're still paying for ADS for fire monitoring, you should know three things. You are no longer required to. Two, it doesn't monitor smoke detectors, even when wired to 110 volt and interconnected per code. Three, some security companies offer smoke detectors as part of their monitoring with no additional monthly charge. ADS monitoring initiates a call to the fire department only after water flows through your sprinklers. The fire department recommends monitoring, but smoke detection is the first line of defense and can be monitored by your security service. So if there's anything objectionable,
that sounds pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
The subject number two is the Washington Boulevard Corridor Improvement Project. And I know there are places for comments for here, but it's going to come to you for a vote on the money at some point. So I thought I'd just put this together. Traffic calming delineators were put in place at two intersections that I'm familiar with. And I think it has been a great success. The intended parking lane is now clearly not a through lane or a right turn lane. So I think eliminating that confusion was a big win. And a reduction in speeding by 30 to 53%, an even bigger win. So why spend $1.7 million to make things, in my opinion, less safe? The proposed project uses bump outs. Bump outs forced cyclists within feet of traffic at every intersection. Delineators allow cyclists their own area at intersections. Cars respect them, and snowplows can plow around them as easier than concrete curbs. You say you've had significant feedback regarding speeding. Is that a couple of letters? Well, I think River Forest has created its own biggest traffic problem, compliance fatigue, which is burnout, exhaustion, impatience, and aggravation that occurs from overwhelming amounts of regulation. Please, please, please ask the consultant about compliance fatigue, a very real, measurable safety issue that you control. Near our house, it's a stop sign. We can see the last intersection on where westbound traffic on Augusta is supposed to stop, and it's obvious that drivers have little or no respect for that final stop in a long run of them.
Yep.
Okay. And lastly, term limits. I voted against them, but community voted for them because that's how we do it. But there was a mistake or a bungle or a misdirect in the wording, or not the wording the people saw, but something. And now we are trying to make what the people wanted law. But legal advice says that an injured party could bring a lawsuit, and that could be costly and time-consuming. So you decided that the remedy is a redo. We didn't want costly and time-consuming, but the way you voted to do it is delay. That is consuming time that is completely unnecessary. You can still fix it if you want. Justice delayed is justice denied. Council was worried about a potential injured party, but there is a pre-existing injured party, the people. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Carrie?
So this is Carrie McLean, 1010 Keystone. This is already kind of obsolete because, unfortunately, I've been away in Tulum for a week at my daughter's wedding. Hey. And I didn't see that Wednesday journal thing. I didn't know about that. Or the option of an AG becoming involved. So take that into consideration as I read this. Citizens, we've been weighing in on the referendum about term limits for a while now. And the controversy over whether it was binding or merely advisory is kind of becoming an distraction from what I think the real issue is. It seems that some people now want a way out of what the voters have already decided. And we're being told that this process somehow requires 15 months just to get the wording right. Frankly, that's insulting. River Forest is full of smart, capable residents, and we're supposed to believe that our village man, who are also smart and capable, need a year to put clear wording on a ballot. That doesn't pass any reasonable test of honesty or efficiency. And pointing to what election would draw which voters isn't some neutral logistic note. It's revealing. It signals a fear that if the voters who are truly paying attention, like those who turn out at midterm elections, are the ones making the decisions, the outcome might not favor the people trying to undo the referendum. Is that what's right for the citizens of River Forest? When this measure was originally on the ballot, I didn't need a dissertation to understand why it was there. I read the referendum itself, and in my eyes, and in the eyes of many residents, it was absolutely binding. Honestly, I'm not sure. I really don't know how I voted. We were having a lot of discussions at home, and I was torn. I know that this is a voluntary position. I know the amount of work it takes, and I, you know, I mean, I wanted to respect that. But now I'll work tirelessly to pass this referendum if it's on the ballot again. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Carrie. Okay, that concludes the public testimony. So I'll give you that. We'll move on to the elected official comments and announcements. So can't recall. Maybe I'll start with you, Bob, if you don't mind.
Okay, I got a couple of things tonight. First of all, I don't think since we're meeting tonight and not next Monday, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, which is next Thursday. Next, I just want to remind everyone that everybody got a nice little surprise in the mail over the weekend. And just a reminder that the second half of your tax bills are due on December 15th. Another thing is 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, Fenwick Friars will take on Nazareth, in the semifinals of the IHSA at Moran Stadium in LaGrange. And the reason I know it's Moran Stadium is because it's named after their longtime coach, who was a classmate of mine in college. So go Friars. And then just one thing I just want to pull out of the administrator's packet from in tonight's meeting. Big shout out to Jessica and Luke. On page 46 of the report, there's a recap of the work that's done with our permitting. And I think it's very interesting if you haven't read it. 91 permits issued in October, fees collected $52,870. An average time of 65% of the permits were reviewed in 48 hours and 85% within 7 days. I think that's great customer service, and a big shout out to you guys. Congratulations and thanks.
Great job. Thanks. Okay. Yep. Great. Thanks, Bob. Megan?
I'd like to echo Bob in saying happy Thanksgiving and thank you to our team at Village Hall. We all know the permitting process is no one's favorite, so we appreciate that you're getting it done as fast as possible. Thank you. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the concern that many residents have expressed about the recent immigration enforcement actions in our area. What I see in River Forest every day are neighbors who look out for one another, people who are raking their own leaves at night, on the weekends, having their kids do it to protect people who are working for us. They're stocking the food pantries. They're carrying whistles and creating whistle-making parties and walking their dogs. They're watching out for our community. And that's the spirit of River Forest. It's about treating everyone who works here with the dignity and respect. No one should feel unsafe doing their job or tending their yard or walking their children to school. I want to thank those residents who've stepped forward to support and protect others in these humane and lawful ways. Their actions remind us that safety and compassion can and should coexist, and that our strength comes from the care that we show to one another. I appreciate and I want to say thank you to all the people who are offering to be a human safety net, make sure everyone is cared for at a critical time.
Awesome message. Thank you, Megan. Great message. Katie?
Yeah, I appreciate both yours and Bob, Megan and Bob's comments, and I echo them. I'm going to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we acknowledge and are mindful that we are holding these meetings on the traditional homelands of that were once inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place where many people of diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I also want to echo Phyllis's comment about the lights. I noticed it on my way here, driving down Park. You know, it gets dark at 4 o'clock now, and these lights really do lighten up our lives. So, and I did notice the Village Hall lights too. They're very nice. I also feel that I need to comment on the casual conversation meeting topic as one was held last Saturday. I checked in with Matt before the event, and he confirmed that if more than two of us elected officials around this table came to the meeting, we could not participate in the discussion. We could stay, but we'd have to be quiet or just talk one-on-one with a resident who might be there. Talking with one or more residents directly is fine before or after the meeting, but during the meeting, it feels disruptive and impolite to interrupt or compete with the formal presentation to hold side conversations. If I were a resident, I would want to pay attention to the formal presentation and not be pulled aside for a side conversation during the presentation, questions to staff and elected officials, and group discussion. I've attended several of these, and they comprise of presentations, PowerPoint-style projected content by staff, and then discussions of the topic with questions and answers from residents, staff, and elected officials. I participated several times, and the conversation was robust. Each time I participated, there were either two or three elected officials present and participating. One time I attended, I was told I could not participate, but could just stay and be silent. The advantage to that for me was that I knew what was being discussed. Otherwise, I wouldn't know, because these meetings aren't being recorded by the village for others to listen to. The problem with this setup is that I cannot participate, contribute to the conversation, or answer questions. It looks to the residents as if, A, I have nothing to say or add to the discussion, or B, I agree with everything that's being said. In fact, I would have corrected a mistaken comment that was made at the meeting at which I was told I had to remain silent. But I didn't correct the comment, and looking back, I wish I had. But I was following the rules I was told I had to follow in order to even be in the room. So I didn't attend this past weekend's casual conversation meeting because I didn't know if there would be more than two elected officials present, in which case I wouldn't be able to join in the discussions. The uncertainty of whether we can all participate is disruptive to schedules and it's demeaning. And residents are not served best if the conversation is restricted. I'm told we can resolve this problem by A, publishing an agenda for the meeting, and B, recording the meeting. How difficult is that? We do that multiple times every week for every commission meeting. Several of us have asked that this be done and seem to have received a yes nod, but somehow it's never done. Why not? Why are we doing it this way? Matt gave a reason when I checked with him last week. He said that at one of the meetings earlier this year, there was a resident who expressed concern about being recorded at the casual conversations event. That's reasonable. But it's also reasonable that notes will be taken at the discussions, and if residents know in advance that they will be recorded and why and the benefits of that, so that all can participate and the conversation can be more robust, I believe that the balance would weigh in favor of doing the minor things that are necessary to allow this to happen, for all elected officials to attend and know that they can participate in these events. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Katie. Rosa?
Well, along with everybody else, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and kind of reminding what you were saying, Katie, about it getting dark. If you're walking around, walking your pets, taking a walk, wear some kind of light thing, because driving around, pulling out of your driveway, it's hard to see people turning corners. So if you have a light, please wear it, or reflective clothing at a minimum, so just to avoid injuries.
Thanks for the message.
I would also echo that, but also remember that there are mounds of leaves. So even trying to turn and get around the streets, I see cars swerving a little bit, not violently swerving, but seeing the piles of trees. So everyone, please be careful walking around. And of course, have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ.
I will echo what everybody else said. Very great comments thus far. And I would just like to add that the Oak Park River Forest area has a lot of great not-for-profits. We have, and this is probably old data, because there was a study done about 10 years ago where there were over 55 different not-for-profits focusing on a variety of causes, for lack of a better word, you know, food insecurity, lack of housing, inability to pay for medical health, medical, dental, and social behavioral health, mental health services, et cetera. So during the holiday season, I would ask, and we are getting into the holiday season, to think about maybe not buying a lot of stuff and thinking about those that might be able to benefit from a gift such a organization, or potentially a participating in many of the fundraisers that take place, a lot of them around the holidays, to, you know, take advantage of the gift giving that's taking place. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Erica?
Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Good. Comments from everyone around this table, especially thank you, Megan, for your comments. And thank you to all of those who are working tirelessly around the issue of immigration right now. I think we have heard in the news that maybe abductions might be lessening. And I don't think that we should count on that just because one main person who's involved has left the area for now does not mean that there will not continue to be. We have right in our backyard in Broadview a detention facility. And so we just do need to keep that in mind. Lisa, I really appreciate your message of supporting nonprofits this season and of residents thinking of ways that they can make direct contributions to folks in the areas as well, or use their time to help nonprofits or people in the area. So yes, happy Thanksgiving as well. And Katie, thank you for bringing up casual conversations. I know in the past when I've attended, and even in moments when I was told that I couldn't talk, I maybe took a different stance than you. And sometimes I just felt like I had to correct or had to, because I had knowledge that other people who were speaking didn't. And so made comments in those cases. And I do think it is a disservice when we are there and are not allowed to participate. Like, it just feels weird that it's a public meeting and yet we can't say something, especially when we've got some good expertise in it. So I appreciate you saying that. And that's it for my comments.
All right. Thanks, Erica. Again, thank you for all the messages, Megan, and your thoughtfulness on the immigration issue. And happy Thanksgiving. It is a wonderful time for us to give thanks. And so I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday. Also, the lights, just so you guys know, they are kind of new. We haven't really had them, I guess, since Jack started with us. I think Jack was kind of the initiator to really make it more robust, more festive. So for that, Jack, and of course, Matt and all the administration, but to really step up and give it more more light. So thanks for that. I agree. It just gives you turn around and you, around the corner, you're like, wow, this is great. So thank you. One of the major things I did since the last board meeting is I attended on October 31st a court session along for Lake and Lathrop. It is anybody can attend, and I certainly recommend anybody going to these court dates if you've got a free couple hours. I attended it, and in fact, I spoke in front of the judge, and I think I also we put that in the newsletter. So if anybody's listening to this and hearing this, please read the message I gave to the judge. It was very clear that they must consider the River Forest residents and bring this to a conclusion as quickly and as fast and expeditiously as they can, that we deserve better. I believe the judge listened. There will be a settlement conference. He has called for a settlement conference, which means each of the, the parties, will have to come with some idea of how to settle this. That is on December 15th, right? Everybody's welcome. Come to the courtroom, listen to the to both parties and the judge and on how he handles it. So we'll hope that brings some, I don't think it will bring it to a conclusion, but I hopefully it will bring it, it will move the Lake and Lathrop issue further to a conclusion. So that's all I have to report. So we'll move on to our consent agenda. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Kathy, I'd like to pull one item before we do that. Okay. Item H. 5H.
Yep.
I'd like to pull item I for a quick question.
Yep. Okay. No worries. So if we can get approval for A through G, I think.
Motion to approve the consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion, questions? Okay, hearing none, then I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Okay, consent agenda item 5A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes October 27th, 2025. B,
Village Board of Trustee Executive Session Meeting Minutes, October 27th, 2025. C, Administration Department Report. D, Monthly Department Reports. E, Accounts Payable, October 2025, $2,222,115.91. F, October 2025 Financial Report. G, Fiscal Year 2026 Budget Amendment Ordinance.
Okay.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Okay, then we'll move on to item H. If I can get a motion and a second for item H.
Move to approve the consent agenda item H.
Second.
Okay.
So I pulled this because I have a couple questions about it. Yeah. I've never seen any technology like this. I want to make sure I understand it. It looks to me like they are GPS tags that are projected onto suspect vehicles for tracking. And the purpose of them is to avoid high-speed pursuits or give an alternative to high-speed pursuits. And then I'll let you take over from there, from my understanding.
You got it. Madam President, trustees, I did prepare something because I thought there may be questions because it is newer technology. As a matter of fact, Star Chase is the only company that has a product like this right now. So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm requesting approval for the purchase of 5 Star Chase Guardian VX vehicle-mounted launcher systems. This technology represents significant advancement in how we manage vehicle pursuits, enhancing public safety, officer safety, and our ability to apprehend suspects without the risks associated with high-speed chases. The Guardian VX system allows officers to deploy a GPS tag onto a fleeing vehicle from a safe distance. Once tagged, the vehicle can be tracked in real time, allowing officers to disengage from a dangerous pursuit while maintaining full situational awareness. This approach aligns with national best practices for pursuit management and supports our department's commitment to reducing risk to the public, officers, and property. Importantly, the River Forest Police Department already utilizes a handheld version of the Star Chase device. This tool has proven effective in the field and has helped us safely manage a few incidents involving vehicles. The addition of the vehicle-mounted Guardian VX units will expand our capabilities and allow for safer deployment using dynamic situations. With the handheld launcher, the officer actually has to be out of the car and position themselves in a way to be in line with the car, which is inherently has more risk than being launched from a vehicle. The total cost of the system is $40,000, which includes equipment, installation, support, and initial training. The purchase will be fully funded through the Illinois Attorney General's Organized Retail Crime Grant program at no cost to the village. The ongoing software support estimated at $8,000 annually will be covered through our department's operational budget or future grant opportunities. With the Attorney General's grant, they've now allowed licensing to be for products that they support and that they recommend that were approved for through their grant. Basically, now we're able to ask for the licensing fees year after year, and there's other opportunities and other grants too. Star Chase is the sole manufacturer and distributor of the patented technology. Their system is unique in its ability to safely tag and track suspect vehicles in real time, and no other vendor offers a comparable product. A sole source letter from Star Chase confirms the status and outlines the system's exclusive capabilities. In addition, the village's insurance carrier, IRMA, has expressed support for the use of this technology as a means to reduce risk and liability associated with vehicle pursuits. IRMA recognizes the values of tools like Star Chase in minimizing the dangers of high-speed chases and has provided grant funding to support the purchase of our existing handheld unit. Their endorsement further reinforces the value and safety benefits of the investment. I also want to address any potential concerns regarding civil liberties. The American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, has reviewed this technology and has publicly stated that it does not raise civil liberties issues when used appropriately. Specifically, the ACLU supports its use in situations where officers have probable cause and do not have time to obtain a warrant, such as during a active vehicle pursuit. They also emphasize that tracking should end once the suspect is apprehended, and these standards are we fully support and will follow. In summary, the Star Chase system offers a safer, smarter, and more accountable way to manage vehicle pursuits. It enhances our capabilities while aligning with both legal standards and community expectations, and I respectfully request your approval to move forward with this important investment in public safety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yes.
I'm sure there might be.
My question relates to the data that the system produces. Who has access to that data outside of the police department?
Only our police department. Each system is tied only to that police department.
Is the Star Chase company, do they have access to the data?
I'm sure they do, but they don't have any. They wouldn't have any need, when we would make certain that it wasn't being shared with anybody or any other agency without our prior knowledge. We wouldn't just.
So if they were subpoenaed directly, there's potential for them to be able to deliver the data then?
Mm-hmm. Potentially. Yeah. But as far as a subpoena to Star Chase? I would suppose if it was subpoenaed by a lawful court or something along those lines, they would have to comply. But
if I can add something to the,
I don't have my
the data in terms of location data would really only be in a place when the vehicle was fleeing the scene, when the police department would deploy that. And then once the car was seized, which happens often, or the person was apprehended, the location, the device would be collected back to the village, and there wouldn't be any additional information being collected. So it's a finite time based on the pursuit of the suspect.
Yeah, this isn't meant to be a device you put on a vehicle and then just follow it around without permission from the court. There are systems like that. We currently don't use them. But that would require a court order and a warrant, essentially, to have something like that. This is more of a temporary, you know, bad guys running, put this device on the car, follow the car so he thinks he got away because we didn't have to pursue him.
Can you remind me, is there a maximum amount of time allowed that with this if it gets, added to a car or vehicle?
I would have to double check exactly what the policy is for. I think it's a 24-hour period that the device itself works, and then the battery would essentially stop anyway. But the idea of it isn't to track people indefinitely at all. The idea is to mitigate the pursuit, basically not have to have one of our officers driving at a high rate of speed. They can fall back and look at the computer and see where the person or the vehicle goes and then go find it later in a safer environment.
So it's only for the pending chase is what you're saying. Am I reading you correctly?
The pending pursuit. Yeah, the pursuit that's in progress. It wouldn't be.
Right.
I think this might happen. So I'm just going to tag the vehicle. And then if everything's okay, I'll take it back off when I'm on my way back to my patrol car. The idea would be the person's actively fleeing. The device is deployed. In that the vehicle's tracked and located, devices removed, and it's no longer being tracked.
You said there's a difference between the handheld versus the launcher on a police car. Do you know the speed at which, like, how fast does that go? And if someone were to get in the way, or, you know, if someone was on a bike or something, like, how fast is that traveling, and could it potentially like hurt somebody?
The device itself that that tags the vehicle, is the best way to describe it would be like a large Nerf dart, essentially the same material.
Okay.
Same application of a suction cup, or, you know, something that sticks to the vehicle. So in that case, it's not like a hard metal object that would possibly injure somebody. And in the case that a police officer would be using, deploying that device, it would be the officer has to get within a certain range of the vehicle it's pursuing, where it wouldn't be an officer launching this from 30 feet away to the offending vehicle. You have to get within probably 5 to 10 feet to deploy it and then fall back. So the likelihood of, God forbid, somebody getting in between a car driving that quickly in a reckless manner and then the device being deployed would be, it'd be horrible, but I think it's highly unlikely. You can never say 100% of the time it wouldn't happen, but I think it would be a very small chance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chief, do you know if there are other municipalities in the state of Illinois that are using this?
Yes. Oak Brook Police Department, I know right off the top of my head. I believe Downers Grove Police Department. There's several others in the area.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions? Bob, did you have a question? No. Okay. I think you were ready at your mic.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Okay. Well, sounds like we've any further questions. There aren't any. We'll go ahead and take the vote, please.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Okay. And then we have consent agenda number I. If I can get a motion in a second to discuss this.
Motion to approve consent agenda item I.
Second.
All right. Erica?
I am wondering about, vehicles that come from O'Hare and this noise abatement. I know there have been reports and, like, just as a resident can hear helicopters in the recent weeks that have been very loud and disruptive. I'm curious if y'all know if those are coming from O'Hare, would those be regulated under this? Is that something that you have information on, or are those coming from other locations?
I am not sure exactly where the location of some of those helicopters. I know there's different pads where those often launch off. I don't believe that that comes up under the purview of the O'Hare noise compatibility. Luke, is that correct? Does that come up?
I cannot say for sure, but it's usually just every time I'm there, it's always about just planes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I might have missed it. I didn't see whether there was anything specific to planes in the memo. So I was wondering if it's like anything that comes out of
that's a good question. Then maybe we can raise Luke attends the monthly meetings to see if there's anything that can be done about that. Most of the conversations are about the reconfiguration with new runways and the expansion projects for O'Hare and the different patterns with that. So that's a bulk of the issue, but it certainly could be something that is discussed.
I'd be curious to see where those helicopters are. I wouldn't guess they were coming out of the Naval, out of North Chicago, but it'd be interesting to see where they came out of. But I agree, it's mostly planes, and the air traffic pattern is what they're looking at.
I think it's an interesting way of going about the noise pollution with the helicopters.
Yeah.
If some of them are traveling from O'Hare.
Yeah. Good question. Okay. Yep. Thanks, Erica. All right. Any further questions on the agreement? Hearing none, if I can go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
And Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. So we have no consent, separate consideration, no recommendations from boards and commissions. And now we're to our unfinished business in item 8. This is the resolution of placing a binding referendum regarding term limits for rural force officials on the November 3rd, 2026 ballot. I'd like to get a motion and a second, and we can discuss it further.
All right.
Motion to approve a resolution providing for the submission of a binding public question concerning the terms of office for the Village of River Forest at the general election to be held on November 3rd, 2026.
Can I get a second? Yep. One second. Lance, without a second.
The motion fails, I suppose. Yeah. Without a second, the motion fails.
It fails? It fails. All right. We'll move on. All right. So we'll go on to the new business. Estimate of the 2025 property tax levy. I can get a motion in a second.
Motion to accept the estimate for the 2025 corporate aggregate property tax levy in the amount of $10,023,843.
Second.
Okay. Rosie.
Oh. No, it's on. Luke tricked me. He turned it off. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we are here requesting the acceptance of the estimate of the 2025 property tax levy in the amount of $10,023,843. The village is required to determine the estimate of the levy at least 20 days prior to the approval of the levy, because if the estimated levy is over 100 or 105%, of the 2024 extension, a black border notice must be published and a public hearing must be held prior to the approval of the levy. The requested increase in the 2025 levy is less than the 5%. Therefore, a notice and a hearing are not required. The 2025 levy includes a 1.9% increase in the village's portion of the corporate levy. Per the PTEL, which is the Property Tax Extension Limitation Law, a taxing authority can levy a tax of the lesser of up to 105% of the prior year's extended levy or the CPI increase over the prior 12 months, which would be from December of 2023 to December of 2024. The CPI increase for that period was 2.9%. Staff has made a conscious and thoughtful decision to take a modest 1.9% increase. Property taxes on new construction with an estimated value of 2.5 million, as determined by the building permits issued over the last year, are not included in this valuation either. By not including the new construction dollars, the River Forest property taxpayers will benefit as a whole. The village did not increase the levy last year for new construction. An actual new property added to the tax rolls in 2024 was over $2.4 million. So each year, the year before was 3.2. So each year we do add quite a nice amount to the tax roll, and we don't include that in our levy. By not accounting for any of these new construction dollars year after year, the overall tax rate for the village should decrease. The average resident should see approximately a 1.9% increase in the village portion of their property tax bill. The village strives to continue to seek economic development opportunities to further lower taxes for all taxpayers. The levy also includes the police and fire pension levies. The pension fund levies are based on actuarial reports prepared by the village actuary, Lauterbach and Amon, using the pension funding policies that are in place. Per the funding policy approved by the village board, both pension funds use the same actuarial assumptions, including a 7% interest rate assumption. The police pension board continues to use a 6.75% interest assumption in their property tax levy recommendation to the village board, but the village board uses what the policies were set at 7%. The required contributions agree with the amounts budgeted for both funds. As you just approved earlier, the budget amendment to true up what the levies are requesting, what the actuarial reports recommended. The year's actuarial reports continue to include a smoothing factor because of a change in methodology based on a programming change made by the actuarial consultant was agreed upon. This impact of this change on future benefit estimates over 3% reduction in projected future benefits. Both pension funds have agreed to smooth the reduction in contributions over a 5-year period. This is the fourth year of the smoothing. So we'll see one more year and then it should, our numbers will actually come down even more. The 2025 levies for the Public Safety Pension Fund contributions are $61,654 more than the 2024 extended levies. The debt service and library levies are also included in the total village levy. The debt service amount included is the full amount of the 2024 available debt service extension base. This debt service extension base is the amount the village is authorized to levy for principal and interest payments without a referendum. The final levy for the 2024 series general obligation bonds that were for public works projects, including street improvement, were included in the 2024 levy. We will be bringing it back to you later this winter to issue new bonds for other additional public works projects to utilize our full amount of the authorized debt service extension base. The approval of the 2025 property tax levy will be included on the agenda for the 12/15 board meeting. If you have any questions or any comments on what we're recommending,
any questions for Rosie?
I have one question, being the new person. How is the library's portion determined?
I provide them, they'll take the whole 2.9%, but I provide them with that number. It's basically just calculating an increase of 2.9% over last year's levy.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's a great question, Megan. Does the library approve that at their...
She was approving that, yes. They approve it at their board meeting.
Okay.
I think they did that last week before they will provide me with their final levy. And then that's what I use to add to ours.
So do they have to? Are they required to it? Or they just do it just for good government? Because then why do we do it?
Lance might be able to.
It's a kind of a strange setup. So with a municipal library, mm-hmm. The library is both independent and dependent. And so it has to approve its own levy, but the village includes it in its overall levy. And sometimes over the years, there has been some tension, and then that can raise some interesting questions because it's both independent and dependent, but it's operated smoothly here, and that's how it's operated.
And the township doesn't fall into that category?
No. The township is completely independent in that regard.
Yeah, right. I think that happened years ago, right? I mean,
there was tension?
No. No, where the library levy goes under the village board.
Oh, it's very old. Yeah, it's very old. Common. Yeah. And the result of that tension historically has been the creation of library districts that you see, because usually if there's a political disagreement, then there's a movement by the library folks that feel they're not getting their fair shake from the village, they run a referendum to create a district. So that's where you see those in place.
Thank you both.
Yeah, sure. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none. Thank you, Rosie, for providing some good guidance. We really, compared to our colleagues across the community, we're doing very well. So I'll go ahead and ask the clerk to please take the vote.
This is for estimate of the 2025 property tax levy of 1.9%. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, that ends our open meeting. We're going to go into executive session. So I'd like to get a motion and a second to move into executive session.
I move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for the sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
All right. I don't think we need to. You just go ahead.
Yeah. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
President Odusi?
Yes. Thank you.